May it please the court. The issue in this case is whether Federal Deposit Insurance Corporation insurance was proved beyond a reasonable doubt. Our two points are that the certificates were not properly admitted and the witnesses were not otherwise qualified. The certificates were not properly admitted because all the witnesses testified to in each bank is that the certificate that was offered in evidence was a photocopy of something on the wall of their bank. And there was not a scintilla of evidence that the certificate on the wall in the bank was the original certificate received from the FDIC.
So it's your position that if the bank tended to put on the wall just another photocopy of something else, that wouldn't be enough of a link?
It's not enough under 105. Otherwise, they have to have an original certificate with a seal or have a certification accompany the photocopy they introduce in court or have a keeper of records. And they didn't meet any of those qualifications. So at trial, the government didn't offer a basis for admission. But at this point, you know, any basis would suffice. And I submit that under none of the rules that allow documents in, do these certificates come in.
What about Rule 1003? Duplicates are admissible to the same extent as the original unless there's a genuine question as to the authenticity or it would be unfair somehow. I mean, is it really contested that Bank One, now Chase, is insured by the FDIC?
Well, the question is, for example, take the Citicorp one.
Citicorp.
The certificate was issued to Citicorp Savings and Loan in San Francisco back sometime in the 1990s, and this is now Citibank. Or there's one where First National was bought out by,
First National was bought by Bank One,
right.
Which now morphed into Chase and so on. But I guess I'm looking at Rule 1003 and wondering, is your argument the same with respect to all of these banks, that there really is a genuine question that what these tellers and various other bank bureaucrats are saying, yes, we have a certificate on the wall that says we're insured by the FDIC? Do you think there really is a genuine question?
Well, that's
at
precisely
the same degree for each one of them?
Well, they may vary a little bit from bank to bank, but you say bank bureaucrats, it was tellers. And in many other cases, the bank president testified, even an FDIC official at some point, and over objections in every single case at the trial, all they did was put on a teller. They didn't put on anyone, and they didn't even qualify the tellers to how they knew other than the fact there's this piece of paper.
But they did come forward with some evidence, didn't they? Even though it's over objection.
The some evidence is the FDIC certificate, which I challenge as whether that's properly admissible under the rules. And you know, I submit Rule 105, which is what they cite in their brief, does not apply, and that the certification and the other provisions don't.
Well, is your notion that these might be fraudulent?
No, my notion is that when the banks were bought out, many of these are quite old. That
do you think their insurance lapsed?
It could have lapsed. The particular branch.
Well, that's possible. So why didn't you put in some evidence? Right?
Well, I actually was anticipating. I mean, we had a trial of 11 banks with a lot of things going on, and I was anticipating that the government would prove this up more fully. So when they didn't, what I started to do was objection and started looking at the rules of evidence and sort of expanded my objections as time went on. And the judge was valiantly trying to find excuses, not excuses.
So in other words, you had no doubt yourself that these were insured banks.
Well,
When you took on the representation, were preparing for trial, you believed they were insured.
I assumed they were insured, and my submission is.
Well, if you assume something, well, it's.
But my the reason this case is in federal court is because there's FDIC insurance. Otherwise, this would have been a 26 in California. There were Chicago police involved in this arrest. And the government it's a critical element of their case.
Well, and your only argument is because they came forth with some evidence. There's a piece of paper in each case, I assume, or something, testimony that was something on the wall or whatever. So they came forward with some evidence, but the narrowness of your rejection has to be that particular certificate or testimony about a plaque or whatever, is non-admissible.
It was not sufficient, it's not, that's correct. It's
right.
not admissible.
Right, you're saying it wasn't admissible, therefore that evidence should have come in, should not have come in, and without that evidence, that there was no evidence.
That's correct.
Okay.
And so I they have to prove that a reasonable jury could have found beyond a reasonable doubt that FDIC insurance existed, otherwise this case wouldn't have been in federal court, and I submit they didn't meet that burden.
This is a matter of course, Mr. Beal. I don't remember hearing a case in a long time, I was on the trial court and here that contested the whether or not a bank was an FDIC. Do you know of any reported cases?
Well, there are a couple of, you know,
I saw you cited one from a Virginia case from 1807.
There's the Ali and the Shively case, the Ali case from the Ninth Circuit and the Shively case from the Fifth Circuit, where the insurance was not sufficiently proved and the convictions were reversed. One was fraud, I think. And it's because when they started putting in their evidence, they weren't putting in enough evidence, so I started objecting. And I think they were good objections.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Beal. Mr. Bindi?
Good morning. May it please the court. This court will not reverse a conviction on a sufficiency of the evidence challenge unless there is no evidence, regardless of how it is weighed, from which the jury could have found...
Well, don't you usually ask for a stipulation in these cases?
Yes. And most of the time
here?
It is stipulated.
But you didn't do that here.
I can't say whether or not that was done. I'm
apparently not.
I would assume that it was requested and refused.
Oh really?
That would be my assumption.
Well, it seems inconsistent with what Mr. Beal was saying. He seemed to have assumed you had enough, but I guess he might have said that he wouldn't stipulate.
Your Honor, just based on my experience, it's common to seek a stipulation to this kind of an element in cases like this, rather than have to take time proving
it
out.
You wouldn't have had those witnesses if you had a stipulation. I mean, so you knew going in that there was no stipulation.
Correct.
And see, the problem here is that the rules that you're arguing are a bad fit for the evidence. Maybe not even a fit at all. I realize it's a huge sentence. This guy has 444 months. He's robbed all these banks and everything. But you can only prove it by copy if a witness has compared it with the original, and there's no evidence that any witness compared it with the original. There's no evidence that whatever... I mean, it could have been a Monet on the wall of the bank. I mean, if somebody says, oh, I saw something on the wall of the bank, it could have been another photocopy. If the banks didn't bother to put their original certificate on the wall, maybe they keep it in the vault. I mean, this may not technically have been admissible under the federal rules of evidence.
Well, Judge Leinenweber thought that the certificates themselves were, or the copies anyway, were self-authenticating under Rule 902.
Rule 902 requires an original seal, so they're not self-authenticating if it's just a Xerox.
Well, but a photocopy of a document, a sealed document issued by a governmental agency, is admissible.
I'm not sure. Well, that's a different rule. There you have to get over to Rule 105. You could barely read the seal on these things. I don't know that he was right about 902.
How many counts were there?
There were 10 counts of bank robbery and one count of attempt.
And what documents, you have a document for each of those counts, or each of the banks, I should say?
Yes, Your Honor.
See, what 902.1 says, a document bearing a seal. Well, a Xerox isn't a document bearing a seal. A seal is an original thing. Then there's a different rule of evidence that deals with use of copies, recognizing, therefore, under the rules of evidence, that copies aren't the same thing as originals.
Well, Your Honor, it may not have been a perfect fit under the rules, but again, you know, the standard there is abuse of discretion.
Well, does it fit under the rule? For one, Rule 1002, to prove, you know, you have to have originals. Rule 1003, is a duplicate is admissible, but that's the rule I was asking about. A duplicate is admissible to the same extent as an original unless, one, a genuine question is raised as to the authenticity of the original. That, it seems to me if you have a prayer, it's under 1003, really.
Well, Your Honor,
again, certainly haven't complied with 1005.
Again, Your Honor, the objection under the rules does not reach as far as contesting whether or not these photocopies of the certificates were what they purported to be.
But that's where the reasonable, you know, a defendant, a criminal defendant's entitled to put the government to its proof, right? That's part of our system. And if one of the elements that makes this not just an ordinary robbery, obviously prohibited under the law of Illinois, but a federal crime, is FDIC insurance, surely the government should jump through the hoops.
Well, again, I wouldn't say that this was the best way to go about proving up this element.
I'm glad you wouldn't say that.
Well, is it your suggestion that somehow it's a special type of copy because it includes a copy of the seal?
The seal is visible on the photocopies, Your Honor. And
so it's not really a seal, it's a copy of a seal, but you're saying that it's something for which the rules don't provide exactly? Is that what it is?
It's
Copy of sealed documents.
If a photocopy is admissible, I would think that a photocopy showing the seal but not actually raised would also be admissible unless there was some serious, genuine issue about the authenticity of the document.
But you're quoting 1003 now. You're not saying that it's a self-authenticating document, as 902.1 refers to. If you have the original document, it's got the nice seal on and everything, sure. I mean, the rules say that's self-authenticating. It seems to me the language you're using is more 1003.
That could be, Your Honor. But, you know, again, it's a self-authenticating document. If a photocopy of it is admissible and there is no genuine issue regarding whether or not the document is what it purports to be, then I think that it was within the district court's discretion to admit the document.
If the bank weren't insured, but it fabricated this FDIC thing, would that be a crime of some sort?
I couldn't cite you a statutory provision, Your Honor, but I would certainly hope that fabricating an FDIC certificate and hanging in a bank to lure customers or to assuage
customers. Forgery of a government document.
I would hope that that's a crime.
Do you ever prove up this element by any certification from the FDIC?
I can tell you that in my experience, I have in the past.
You have?
I have. I brought in an FDIC witness to prove up FDIC insurance. So I'm aware that it's done.
I'm just curious.
So, Your Honors, we would respectfully request that this court affirm the judgment. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Bindi. Mr. Beal, do you have anything further like to say?
The 103 issue was not briefed. Would it be useful to have a very short brief on that post-argument? Or?
No, I don't think so. Or unless you want, no. But look, do you really think this is a fabrication, a forgery?
Well, the question
what do you think it is? What's your explanation of what happened here?
The question is whether it's still a valid proof of continued of FDIC.
No, that's a completely different issue. That's a completely different issue. If this were the original, it's dated, November 9th, 1999, there'd still be an issue whether it was still enforced. That's completely unrelated to the copy question. So my question for you is, what's the alternative interpretation of these things on the wall of the banks? That the banks are engaged in a fraud?
No, but
because the question of expiration is completely independent to whether they post the original, the certificate, or a copy.
The question is whether it's is what it's a copy of, and it's bank incompetence rather than bank.
Yeah, well, what is it a copy of? It's a Xerox of, you know, an original certificate, unless you think that somehow they don't have the original certificate, so they forged something.
No, I'm not.
Well, what do you think they did? Where do you think these copies came from? What do you think they're copies of?
They're copies of a document that exists in some central office.
But are you saying, would it matter if they were copies of a copy as opposed to copies of an original? How far?
Well, under 105, if it was an original and the witness had gone and seen the seal in the branch bank, it would then come in because it would be a copy of an original that the witness verified they'd seen the original. Here, the witness, not a single witness said what it was.
Yes, but what do you think it's a copy of?
It's a copy of a document that the bank in some incarnation got at some time, presumably from the FDIC, but we don't know that, and it's bureaucratic sort of ineptitude.
Well, what's the alternative theory? You think it's forged?
So it's a certificate that somebody got from the FDIC at some point in time.
Yes, I know, but look.
This bank.
Of course, but suppose that this were the original certificate. You'd still have the same question, whether it was still valid after the various transfers,
that would
right?
be for the...
That would be a question, but that's not the question you're presenting.
Right.
You're just presenting the question, this is a copy instead of an original.
Correct.
I'm having trouble figuring out what difference it could make. Look, where copies and originals are significant, I heard a case like this a few weeks ago, is where should a bank have realized that a check it received was a forgery? I'm sorry, the check that it received back, it issued the check and it received it back and it paid. It should have recognized it was a forgery. And it didn't have the original check anymore, it just had the check, it had just had a copy. And apparently you can't tell whether a copy is forged as readily as you could the original. So the fact that it was a copy really made a difference. But in this situation, you're not arguing that the original is forged, and we would know that if we had the original, but the copy, we can't tell it's forged. You believe this is a copy of a perfectly good, you know, FDIC-issued document.
Well, actually, unless
you believe that.
Unless
you believe that, and your argument that, you know, these banks have merged and so on, is actually completely unrelated to whether it's a copy. That's a completely separate issue, because you'd have the same issue if it were the original.
Right. Two things. Number one is it's actually possible that some branch manager who knows he's got to have FDIC certificates up, you know, borrowed one from the bank down the street. I mean, I admit that that's not terribly likely, but it's certainly possible. But the second thing is, here you have the combination.
The bank down the street with the same name, or what?
Well, sometimes the same bank will have branches within three blocks of each other these days.
Well, but they're all insured, by that, right? You don't have one branch insured and another branch not insured. The bank is insured.
Well, we don't know that in this case. We don't have...
Well, what do you mean? You mean you can have a bank and in one of our branches we have insurance. Other branch, we don't have insurance, but, you know, we charge you less.
And my point is that these documents were not properly admitted under the rules of evidence.
And it's
the combination with witnesses who were not independently copied.
But so what?
So they can't, my point is...
I know, but you admit these are copies of true originals, which are self-authenticating. The originals are self-authenticating. You don't need witnesses.
That's right, for the actual original.
And these are actual copies of these originals. They're not forgeries.
They're presumably copies.
No, you believe they're copies of actual FDIC certificates. You do not believe they're forged.
I don't have any reason to believe they're forged.
Right.
And the government has a burden of proof in these cases.
Okay.
And they don't meet either. My answer is it's the combination of lack of admissible documents under the rules, if the rules mean anything, and a lack of a competent witness such as a bank president or an FDIC officer. You put those two together, and they have nothing. They have no legs to stand on.
Okay. Well, thank you very much. And you were appointed, were you not? Well, we thank you for your vigorous efforts on behalf of. And court will stand in recess until.